You know, it's democracy everywhere, you know. Maybe they need salary increase, you know. God bless you. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Shall we stand for a word of prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Once again, fellowshipping with one another and partaking of your glory, O Lord. We thank you for your people gathered from north, south, east, and west, and they didn't come for a football show, O Lord. They didn't come for a disco show, O Lord, but they came for the highest show, which is to meet you, the King of Kings, our Maker, our Creator, O Lord. Lord, you have provided for a good day for us, a good weather. You have provided for a good atmosphere. Let us enjoy. Let us rejoice in your presence, O Lord. Let us forget about our burdens, about our sorrows, O Lord, and let us really benefit from being in your presence, O Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, take now control of this service, O Lord, as we commit the preaching of the word, the singing, the praises, the special items, everything that will be done. Let it be for your glory, O Lord. Bless the visitors in our midst, O Lord. Take control as we commit everything into your hand. Heal the sick, O Lord. Save our souls. We call upon your name in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's for our Sunday school lesson. I think for just a few minutes we are going to talk about a small topic. We hope God will help us, give us really the context of what we want to say. We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. The visitors in our midst, you are most welcome, and God really bless you. Let's open our Bibles in Genesis chapter 1. We are just going to talk about something we spoke about in the past, but we just want to bring it to our remembrance. It's about the word made flesh is the light of the hour. Amen. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm just going to read a quote from the prophet. Then we are going to take our thoughts from there. There's a man here that can turn on the light. He says, so life is only by the word of God manifest. Life comes only by the word of God manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. Amen. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it is made manifest, then you see the product of what it spoke of being manifested. Then that is the light of the world. Amen. Then it can impart life. Amen. Because when we read in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light." Now we know what light is about, what light looks like. But when God spoke, "Let there be light," nobody knew exactly what life looked like. It's only God himself that knew when he said, "Let there be light," what light looked like. And we came to know what is light like only when it got manifested. Amen. The word of God, as long as it is still written, it is still in this form of writing, it can be interpreted in many manners. It can be questioned. Maybe someone would tell, okay, when God said, "Let there be light," there's going to be a blue something that will pop up. Maybe there's going to be an orange something that will pop up from. But the interpretation, the meaning of what God said, it got full meaning only when it got manifested. Then it could give life. Amen. As long as it is still in the written form, it won't impact life. Amen. So that's why we are trying to go a bit quick in it, because it's so long, but we try to shorten it. We have to understand what is the word of God exactly. Because what we call sometimes the word is just ink and paper. Are we together? The word is not exactly, we honor this book because it contains the word of God. But the word is spirit. We can burn this book. It has been burned in past ages, but they didn't burn the word. Amen. That's why the word, we need to understand exactly what is the word. The word, before it was written, it was first a thought in the mind of God. When, before God could say, "Let there be light," God has thought of light. God knew what light, what something that was in his mind. And as long as it was not, pronounced, expressed, we couldn't know what was in the mind of God. So the word, first of all, it is a thought. And when that thought is expressed, then we can understand what was in the mind of God. So it goes from the state of being just a thought to being spoken. So the word goes first from a thought, then it is a spoken word. Let there be light. But from the from the form of a thought, though in it was the potential to give life, but as long as it was not pronounced, it couldn't impact. Was still darkness. And God said, "Let there be light." And when he spoke, "Let there be light," there was still no light until it got manifested. Then people could rejoice under the brightness of the light. Are we together? So the word went from the form of being a thought to being spoken, but it still couldn't be alive. And God, knowing that between the time the word is spoken to the time the word is fulfilled, it may be, it may take a lapse of time. God made provision that this word will not be forgotten. Let it be written. So from the thought to the spoken, then God said, it becomes a written word for our record. But it still don't give life until the day it is fulfilled. Amen. Are we together? So that's why Paul could say, I think in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, he says, "Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Amen. As long as it is still in this form, remember the Pharisees, they had the word as a letter, but it didn't give them life. They could go and say, to us a child is given. A virgin shall conceive. They believed that word. But it's not the fact of them to believe the word that gave them life. The life was only in that word when it became manifest. Amen. The word made flesh, as we said, is the light of the hour. There is life only when the word becomes flesh, when the word is manifested, when the word is fulfilled. You can believe the word in its written form and still not have life. Amen. That's why he says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. Are we together? So that's why when God said, "Let there be light," the light was manifested. But someone could say, because we know that the light God was speaking about really was Jesus Christ. Because when he came in the world, he said, "I am the light of the world." Amen? So when that light, I want just to make it short. When that light was manifested, someone could stand and say, though the light is there, he said, "I don't believe this is the light." Because remember, there was still light and darkness together, before God separated them. Someone could say, no, I don't believe this. Though God has fulfilled, God has spoken the light, but I want to remain into darkness. For that person, the fulfillment, the manifestation of the world couldn't give him life because he chose to reject the word made flesh. He chose to remain under darkness. That's why when Jesus was on earth, he said, "I am the light of the world." The Pharisees says, "You are a demon." Those who accepted that he was the light of the world, they received life. Peter and Philip and everyone, they said, "You are the light. We accept you." They received life. Though the light was made manifest, though the word was made flesh, may some decided not to accept the word made flesh. And they died in their sin. So there is life only when you accept the word made manifest in your day. Are we together? So, I'm just going to take two short examples, then we are going to close, so that we can really understand not to make the same mistake they made. We can stay with this Bible all your... You remember the Jews, up until today, they have portions of the scripture they wear on them. Some of them, they wear it here. You know, those stuff they put on here. Inside there's portions of the scripture. Some of them, it's here. In their houses, there were words everywhere written. Even the scriptures we are reading here, they had them in their houses. But when that very scripture was walking in the streets of Jerusalem, they called it Beelzebul. Amen. They could read Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Everybody could read that scripture. But when this word was fulfilled, made flesh, they saw him walking in their streets, coming to their synagogues, they called him demon. They could say, we believe the written word. We have the Bible. But there is no life in the scripture until it is made flesh and you accept it. Amen. You know the story of Mary and Joseph. We are just going to illustrate it. Chapter Matthew 1, verse 18 to 25. We all know Joseph was a honorable man, a God-fearing man. He was not an unbeliever. But he almost failed to see the word made flesh. From verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Listen now. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Amen. Joseph was a Bible believer. He could read Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Joseph would say, amen to the word. But when this word became flesh, through Mary, who was sitting next to him, Mary was the virgin the Bible was talking about. She really conceived. Joseph couldn't make the connection between the written word and the word made flesh. He saw the word made flesh. He knew that Mary was a virgin. He knew that Mary had conceived, but he failed to see that this is the fulfillment of what was a spoken word once from the mouth of Isaiah. What was written in the Bible, today it is made flesh. But what did he do? He decided to divorce her privately. He decided to divorce the word made flesh. Amen. The Bible says, put it right. Joseph has been a just man and not willing to make her a public example. I don't know if you understand what the Bible says here. Not willing to make her a public example. You know, in the times of the writing of the scripture, what they call public example here, because Mary was found pregnant, she has committed adultery. Are you with me? Amen. She was found pregnant and Joseph was not the author of that pregnancy. So she had committed adultery. And what they would do, they would take her and go and stone her. Are we together? So that's what the public example Joseph didn't want to make. To take the word made flesh and go and stone it. And the people could go and take the word made flesh and kill it. Are we together? So that's the danger of not, you know, understanding, not seeing the word made flesh in your day. You can make it a public example. You can call it devil. You can call it demon. You can stone it. You can kill it. You can do any kind of things you want. Why? Because you didn't see the word made flesh. The life they were expecting for years and centuries before was made flesh in their midst, but they call it demon. Amen. That's why it is very important for us to understand that life, we can read. Prophecies will not always remain prophecies. There's a time of the fulfillment of the prophecy. You can read the prophecy in the Bible and say, oh, a virgin shall conceive. We always tend to put it in the future. The virgin shall conceive. Jesus shall come. They were in their day saying, Jesus shall come. Jesus was there in their midst. They called him demon. They failed to see the word made flesh. Amen. And there is life only when you see the word made flesh in your day. Amen. That's why it is very important for us to understand these things and not to fail. Your Your sincerity is not what God wants. We respect it. Respect your sincerity. We respect your fasting. We respect your tithing. We respect everything you do. But failing the connection. The Pharisees were very good people. You know, they were even more righteous. Don't get me wrong. They were even more righteous than Jesus Christ himself. Are we together? When it comes to righteousness, Jesus could go and, hit people. Jesus could go and call people names. Them, they were dead, like the Holy Pope. You know, they were very righteous people. But their righteousness was not what God required. Righteousness, the true righteousness, is to see the Word made flesh in your day. It's only then that you can start now, you know, to understand. And God will impart his righteousness in you. You can walk. They were walking on the road of Emmaus with the Word made flesh. But they called him stranger. Amen. They called him stranger. While the Word was made flesh in their day, the Son of Man will be crucified. The Son of Man will be put to death. On the third day, he will rise again. They were working with that Word made flesh. But they were asking him, who are you? Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what happened in this city. Why? They failed to see the Word made flesh. If God is not merciful to you, you may call it names and blaspheme. That's why we need to be very careful. Every time Jesus would stand and say, I am the bread of life. You have to eat of me and get life. We know that you have a demon. They would tell him, publicly, we know that you are a demon. You have a demon. Why? They fail to see the fulfillment of the word. That's why we just want to pull it in our days, and then we are going to conclude. Amen. We are going to pull it in our days. My brother, my sister, just remember, prophecies will not always remain prophecies. There's a time where the prophecies will be fulfilled. In the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, people were expecting, because Isaiah said, the trees will shout. They'll clap hands. People were expecting it literally. While the word was being made flesh in their presence, they failed to notice it. They failed to understand it. Amen. When the Bible says, he will come, we are there. Let's read it. Please don't ring the bell yet. 1 Thessalonians 4. From verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. We are not preaching at a funeral now. Because we are so used. Come on. We are so used to hear this word at the funeral. But we are all in the expectation of the coming of the Lord. He shall come with a shout, with a trump, with a voice of an archangel. That word one day, maybe you can put it in the future, but it will be made flesh. No, because we are waiting, we are in expectation, waiting for this to be fulfilled. But don't commit that mistake that the Pharisees made. When the word was made flesh in their midst, they were waiting for the literal fulfillment of the word. When the Bible says, he will come with a shout, he will come with a trump, he will come with the voice of an archangel, what does it mean? Because you may be expecting a literal trump, while the trump may be sounding in your presence and you fail to discern it. Amen. Amen. You may be expecting a voice of an archangel, while the voice is shouting and you fail to discern it. Amen. That's why it is very important for you, for me and you, to catch the meaning of the fulfillment of the word. Because there is life only when you see the word made flesh in your day. If you fail to see the word made flesh, up to today, there are people who are waiting for the first coming of the Lord. For them, he has not come yet. Amen. Because the Bible says there is a voice shouting in the desert. They were expecting it to be the desert of Kalahari or Sahara. Amen. But it was a man dressed in a, you are not a, animal skin and not nice looking. That was the voice. Don't put the, you know, the fulfillment of the world always in future. God has spoken. And someday you need to just go on your knees. Let's go on our knees every day and ask God to help us open our eyes. To help us see the word made flesh in our day. Because if we keep postponing it, you may see it working. Jesus, remember Mary of Magdala, she saw Jesus risen. She was standing in the presence of Jesus. She called him a gardener. Do you know that? Yeah. She called him a, she said, "Sir, where did you put my master?" While the word was made flesh in her presence. The very Jesus she spoke with all the years passed by. But she was asking him, "Sir, where did you put my master?" And she thought he was the gardener. It's only when he made her grace, he said, "Mary." Then she could say, "What made flesh? Is it you?" Amen. Amen. So let's really be careful on this. There's so many things God has said for this day. There's so many. We are not preaching. We are just, you know, a short exhortation to bring to our attention these things. And in your prayer, when you go home, take the Bible. Anything that is written here, it is no life until it becomes life in you. That's why the Paul say we are living epistles. Because life, the life of the epistle here, it gives life only when it becomes life in you. People will see you and read the epistle. And you can convert people without preaching. Just by being the word made flesh in your life, people will look at you and say, "This is the epistle of Paul to Corinthians." And they believe the word. Amen. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for granting us another good opportunity to partake of your word. We know there's so many things that could be said, O Lord, but yourself, you know how to take the small and maybe things that were not real, that couldn't really make sense to human understanding, but you know how to take it and give it a meaning in our spirits, in our souls, O Lord. Bless your people for their attention to the preaching of the word. We commit now the rest of the service into your hand. Take it, take control, O Lord. Bless the song worship, the preaching, everything that will be done. Let it be for your glory, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you.